Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to, it's that time again on Wednesday. On a Wednesday at 8 o'clock. And I'm the citizen, the person's known as the son, Eric Citizen Payne, my mom. If you don't know Kay Thompson, this is a tribute show. She passed away after our last show about 2 weeks ago. You know, if you've listened at the time or you know us or read anything and some of the things, she had a brain hemorrhage. That's what it is. You have kind of a bleed in your brain, and that happened after our show, unfortunately, the other night. And so please excuse me, because I've never done this without my mother. So so it's a little bit hard. Let's go to our but this is a tribute show for her and to her in her career in the radio and things like that. Forgive me for getting caught up in my emotion, but I'm sure you guys can understand. I'm going to go ahead and bring on one of our co-hosts, Brother Byron Saunders. Let me open your mic. Brother Byron, how are you this evening?
Grace and peace, my brother. As you know, it was a shock to our system. It was a heartbreaking moment. It was a moment in which she passed the baton to you, to me, to Wayne, to carry forth the legacy that she helped to create, known as Kay Thompson Live and Kay Thompson before all of this. But I'm honored. I am truly honored. And after having attended the service, the going home service, and being a part of that, you know, Eric, it's okay to be emotional. I'm very emotional, and I shed lots of tears because of the shock to my own system, who I felt that you and Kay and Lisa and the rest of your entire family had become part of my extended family, and as well as the listening audience. They are part of our extended family. And, you know, we have a mission, and that mission is to spread the word, bring truth to our community, help them to get to freedom and to freedom land. And you know, with that, this is a perfect way to celebrate the legacy of your mom, Kay Thompson Payne, who she paid her price. But you know something, Eric? If you go out on your shield, on the field of honor, on the Champs-Élysées, as we call it, you know, the avenue of heroes and sheroes, she chose the right moment to exit, as nobody else could make it happen. Like, you know what? I'm going to remember this for a long time, because she said to me, her last words were to me, she said, "Byron, when are you going to start teaching?" Now, if that's not enough for a message from the messenger, let's say we call that in theater deus ex machina, from heaven to earth. The messenger delivered the message from heaven to earth. And that's what I'm going to always remember. is that part of my own journey was someone passed the baton to me. I'm so honored to be a part of this legacy that she created, one in which you're carrying forth. And guess what? We're family. This is how we do this, Eric.
That's right. That's right. Let's, Byron, appreciate those words, and you're 100% correct. Let's bring in our other co-host, Wayne Gilman, who gave some really great words about my mom and a whole context about her career and work with her all those times to bring that information to the community as well. Brother Wayne Gilman. Hey, Wayne, how you doing this evening?
I'm still recovering. You know, this is not something that you get over overnight. I don't have to tell you because I could only imagine what you're going through. And my resistance has gone down. Last week was just such a hectic week. When you first broke the news to me, I was in Delaware. I just left there, and I come back to New York, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, of all the times I spent with your mom and conversations we had, and I think the thing that really, you know, it still resonates with me was that last phone call. I can tell you exactly where I was. You know, I was on the Sprane Parkway coming down from Yonkers trying to get home, and, you know, we spoke, and I had no idea that was going to be the last time. You know, it's just certain things that nature has a way of giving signs, and I'll never forget what she said to Byron that evening, the last show that we did. And
right,
I just said, you know, it's just sobering, but the last thing I ever expected was for her to exit like that, but I can only think of one other person I ever had a chance to work with that actually died on the air. I mean, well, this happened years ago, but it's not something that happens all the time. But, you know, your mom died doing what she liked to do. I mean, it just basically says a lot about who she was. And that's why I took the time. Sometimes I don't like to go places unscripted because you start talking a lot of crap. I wanted to go and basically tell her story. I didn't even care if I was that you guys had said. I was there. I knew what she went through. And
right.
And it wasn't an easy thing. You know, I mean, it's under different ownership now. And sure enough, I don't know if you heard the news, BLS and Hot 97 was sold yesterday to an Asian group for $91.5 million. So I said,
right.
You know, the radio business is changing. But at that particular time, what is so significant about what was going on is that it was under black ownership and white folks
right.
were accepting what was going on. I mean, in other words, they had to answer to what it is that we were dishing out. And I'm not just saying it was, you know, your mother and I alone, there was a whole group of us.
Sure.
But it's the concerted effort that brought about that dynamic. And it's just unfortunate that we don't have that anymore. You know, I don't know what's going on with this business. It saddens me. But, you know, I just had to, you know, go down memory lane as much as I could recall. And I intend to write a book. Linda Taylor had emailed me, and I really need, you know, I'm going to set aside what I wrote last week, but we have to tell the story, you know?
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
I know it's just one of those things. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she actually passed on Friday, 2 days after that, but that was really the last time after we got off the air, and she wasn't feeling sick. She kind of lost consciousness a little bit, about an hour, 45 minutes after that. But when I was getting off, my mother was, when I said, hey, guys, mom is feeling a little bit under the weather, she kind of got mad that, you know, I let people know that in true fashion, you know, in efforts to say, you know, you keep the show going on. You don't let that stuff be
right.
known. So, you know, she was telling me what sweater to give her as the ambulance was coming. So, you know, my mom is my mom, and people that get sick and eventually pass away doing what they love, there's no better testament And you gave, you were there, Wayne. I mean, in the words that you spoke, I could tell you from my sisters for you, the rest of our family, that we really appreciated that you summed it up. My former business partner, Drop Squad Pictures, said from the whole celebration that if someone didn't know my mother, they could come in there and get a full aspect of who she was and what she did with her career. And that's a testament to all the people, you, Donna Wilson, another colleague, Antrip, all gave great testimony. I was heard things that I had forgotten, things that I never knew. I was impressed with Ann's Tripp's tribute because I figured you and Donna, being such close friends, you might have, you know, been colored by your admiration for her. But Ann was totally objective as far as I was concerned, having known her the least. And to find out that she was would actually listen to my mother and looked at her as kind of a mentor, so to speak, or an inspiration coming up was really, you know, I got an assessment of my mother, and I don't know if I got an assessment of my mother's career from a totally objective standpoint, and I'm sure my sisters did as well. And to see that aspect, and you rarely as a child, or maybe the same is the same with, but reverse with parent and children, that you really get to see your parents' day-to-day lives separate from from being their, being your mother, or separate from, you know, your kid being your son. You really get rarely get a glimpse into what their life is and what people think of them. And so that was really a joy for us to hear that. We want to thank also, like I said, Ann Tripp, as she broke the news on a couple of shows there, and the Steve Harvey show gave tribute to my mom, and the gentleman in the Daily News whose name escapes me for writing the article about my mother, as
David
well as Gary
Hickley?
Bird.
I don't know if David is still there.
No, no, it wasn't David Hickley. I think his name was Carew something. I forget his last name, but thank you, sir.
Oh.
And Gary Bird also did a nice little segment for my mother as well. So we appreciate everybody. But you guys were really, and I was looking at some old CDs with my mom when she was doing Information Exchange, which was the music, if you could hear it, that I played after our usual theme song and then her intro. You know, my mother really was not, she didn't go to school for journalism, but it was just another aspect of a career that became available to her. And obviously it's something that she was able to excel at because she has the personality, the education, the interest, and the curiosity as a journalist needs to have to carry on these conversations. So, and also working within the community with her dance school as an educator, all of these things made it perfect for her to move into that industry.
Right.
It's just inspiration to people that are trying to do things. You know how many times my mother would tell people, you should go into radio. And when we did the TV workshop that she was doing, where she was using TV production, teaching that to teachers as a teaching tool to get kids interested in various subjects, that they could present the subject as if they were reporters on a TV show. And that was something that helped the kids get into learning more about their subjects. So she was very much into unlocking the secrets of television production and what it was like to be on TV and what it was like to be on the radio. You know, and have interest in these subjects that are very important, A, from an educational standpoint, B, that are important to our community. And as you talk about the disappearance of all these outlets here, I think the next step or the next leg of that is going to be the Internet, where people can share information and things like that.
Right.
You know, and you guys, it was such a heyday back in those stories that my mother was involved in, and involved in breaking, as we said, the Central Park Five, Howard Beach, and many others, the Tawana Brawley, and many others that, you know, it was normal for us to come up there and visit and to see, you know, these giants. You know, Sonny Carson, you know, he's legendary in his own right. You know, there's a movie about him, The Education of Sonny Carson. So,
right.
Al Sharpton, before, you know, he became the gentleman that we know now, the leader that we know now, trying to be a leader back then, and his whole development. So you guys are really at the cutting edge, and it was something that was needed by the black community. Let me just remind everybody that if you want to call in and just say a few words or reminisce about my mom, the number is 323-679-0906. That's 323-679-0906. You know, it's the first time, obviously, I'm sitting here by myself without my mother next to me, or, you know, if she takes time off, she's usually in the other room listening and yelling stuff in. She's with me now.
Well, her spirit
and
is still here, man.
Always. Always. And
yeah.
Let me just see if this caller, I have a caller on the 707 area code caller. If you want to, if you're calling in, I've opened your mic if you want to say a few words. Or if you, if not, I'll close your mic. But the 707-688, if you wanted to say anything. I don't know whose number that
yes.
is, but
yes, hi, Eric. Can you hear me? This
I
is
can.
Jonesy.
Hey, Jonesy,
this
Linda
is Jonesy.
Jones.
Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear us?
How are you?
Well, I'm fine. Linda Jones, Jonesy, I've known her all my life. Very good friend of my mother's. Jones used to babysit us when we were young. And if you want to, let me tell you, that's my first crush, in love with Linda Jones. Beautiful black sister, Black Panther, Cleopatra Jones had nothing on Linda Jones, the original Jonesy.
Listen,
how are you,
you
Jonesy?
I'm fine. Like everyone else, I'm devastated. Your mom was very instrumental in my life and actually putting me on the path as to who I've become today. I mean, she introduced me to the art world, to dance, to revelation, to so many other things. She educated me. She also gave me great inspirations to going back to school, getting my master's, moving on to getting my doctorate, and just doing what I need to do to keep myself stable. I talked to her, even though I joined the Air Force, spent 24 years, we kept in touch. And she opened up her world, her family to me, with you and Lisa, Christy, Gina. You guys were babies, but mother and Pat, and you guys were like a second family to me. When I didn't really have anyone to talk to or go to, she was always there. And I'm sorry, my voice is shaking.
That's okay.
But I just want to know that I want to let you know that she was more than just a TV personality or a radio commentator. She was a mentor and just truly a great person. And I don't know. When I go back to Jersey, other than visiting my brothers, I really don't know who else to go see. So just to know your mother was more than just. She was a fantastic person, and I've known her since I was in high school. I was 16, actually. Mm-hmm. And I'm up here now. I'm not going to put my age over the radio, but it's been over 50 years. I guess I just did that. So I knew her more than just the radio or TV commentator. She's like a big sister to me. So, again, sorry for the shaky voice.
That's okay, Jonesy. We go back to the days of Thompson Dance Studio. When my mother would have that and was teaching at school, teaching at Maple Avenue School, where I went to school for a short time before we moved out of Newark after the uprising. And then after school, we would go to the studio where they taught classes from the early afternoon on until the early evening. And it was pretty much almost, 4 or 5 days a week, I would suppose. Right, Jonesy?
I remember I was doing martial arts at the time, and she put on a show at Tiffany Hall, and she actually had me do a martial arts segment on that show, Revelations. I couldn't believe it. I'll never forget that as long as I live. I think
that's
the first
right.
time I've actually been on stage in front of a lot of people.
And I'm remembering that now that you did a martial arts exhibition.
That?
That's right. Mm-hmm. All this stuff is coming back to me. You know, a lot of things, I was trying to remember some things, and I was drawing a blank as the time, you know, when you go through that at the time. But a lot of these things that, you know, as you're talking about the studio, and you know, I just remember how at that time, you know, when it's stand back and look at, you have the perspective of a certain number of years in your life, and you're able to look at, as we juxtapose it against the history of the country for our people, for black people, and what was going on, you know, to have a cultural center like that where they were offering dance and things like that for young girls and women to come in there and have a bit of that culture and to learn the grace and things and develop your bodies and strengthen your bodies and make sure your bodies are healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like when you see that black movie, the old 70s black movie, and, you know, I'm reminded of those scenes when you would go in the community and you would see things like this, you know, karate classes going on in the storefront or dance classes, and you would hear African
right.
drums, which was big
mm-hmm.
to my mother, the African drums. She loved to do that and choreograph pieces. And as we were going through the pictures, we were seeing various pieces of various photographs of when my mother started dancing, and her and my aunt Pat developed their first had their love for dance, and they would even do it on roller skates. You know,
mm-hmm.
they had a routine they would do on roller skates,
mm-hmm.
going way back in those days. And so it was a great thing, and certainly for a guy like myself, a straight guy like myself, it wasn't bad. You know, once we discovered that, you know, we discovered girls, it wasn't bad being there on a Saturday afternoon watching take dance class. So, you know, it was pretty good. And we would take karate classes there, too, as well. So it was really a great, you know, a great place. And, you know, we had some guys in there that were weren't be some guys that were gay gentlemen and that we love
mm-hmm.
to this day when we think about them. And she would be supportive of what they chose to do with their life. I mean, we grew up, you know, being exposed to everybody and not
mm-hmm.
knowing a difference, having love for everybody. And so that's how we were taught. Certainly, I remember the days of my go ahead, Jonesy.
And the beauty of all this, Eric, is that your mother has left a legacy for you to carry on, you and Christy and Lisa. And she started that legacy, and you must carry on with that, because the education that she exposed our community to is so relevant and so important. And the more you do it, the more educated we become. So
right.
continue on with that, and know that you,
right.
you, I love you dearly. I mean, I don't see you often, but to me, you're like my family. And
that's right. Likewise.
Continue on with her legacy, because I'm sure that's what she wants you to do, without a doubt.
We will, and I'll definitely do this. And you know, it's a natural part between my mother and father being involved from a civil rights standpoint, a community activism standpoint, culturally, and the media. Those are all the areas that we get this information and help to push the message of our community forward. And, Byron, I wanted to tell you that you're in a line of some pretty heavy historians that have been on my mother's show. You know, we're talking about Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark.
Yes.
You know, I was looking at there's some footage on one of the montages of the opening of one of the shows I was looking at, and there's my mom on her show sitting with Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark. So, I mean, the lineage of our historians falls upon you, brother, so it's some big shoes to fill when we start talking about those individuals.
Well, you know, Eric, the interesting thing about the connection to me through Kay, your mom, and to you, is that I'd been on radio for almost 20 years as a co-host with Mike Sargent on WBAI, 99.5 FM. And at the point of which I was invited to do 5 minutes of history on Kay Thompson Live when she was connected with GoPro Radio. And that 5 minutes started off on a night in which Kay could not come to the studio in Jersey City because Gus was ill that night. So she did the show from home. I did my intro on that night and did my 5 minutes, and Kay kind of interviewed me that evening on the telephone from home with taking care of Gus, and then invited me to come on the next week when in the studio I did my, you know, almost like my interview on the air that next week with Kay in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the show, the producer invited me to have my own show. So 5 years I did my own show, the BCS Experience, History, Arts, Culture, Politics in Review and Discussion. And I came on just before Kay's show on that
right,
network.
That's right.
On the internet.
That's right.
And then then after I canceled my show 5 years later, 2 weeks after I canceled the show, Kay calls me up and says, Byron, I want to know if you would love to be on my show, on the Kay Thompson Live online show. And I graciously accepted. And then 2 months, because that was in September, and then
that's right,
October, November, December, January of that next 4 months later, I started my stint with Kay Thompson Live with you and Wayne as co-hosts on what has become a significant Meet the Press, Face the Nation type station, but from an African American perspective. And I have enjoyed it because, you know, I mean, at the point of which every show was an opportunity to share historical moments so we could connect the dots for our people. You know, so often historically, we don't think of ourselves as part of the history. We think, oh, we just started, you know, we just started but 400 years ago, and as of this year, it's been 400 years that we have been in the process of marching towards victory for freedom and Freedom Land. And as part of the goal of Kay's legacy is that her show, as what I used to call my show, as part of the new Underground Railroad Express, where people could our people could come and get information on how to release themselves from bondage, how to get to freedom, what it means to be free, and connecting them to the places where they would get information on their path to Freedom Land. That's what we're doing.
We're 21st century foot soldiers. That's right, and let me just bring in someone who stepped into that position in our family, and because of, you know, that's kind of position we found ourselves in to try to do that. I'm going to open the mic for this is Congressman Donald Payne, my cousin. Tonight, I'm sure he probably tell you this is my cousin, but there you go. Your mic is open, Don. If you want to say a few words, he totally remembers when we're at the studio and stuff like that. And Jonesy is on the line too, Don.
Oh wow!
Hi, Don.
Well, it's you know, bittersweet.
I got Byron and Wayne on. I'm sorry as well. Our calls, Byron Saunders and Wayne Gilman.
My sympathy, Congressman.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's like I said, it's bittersweet. Very difficult time. I didn't think I was going to do this. But,
all right.
You're human.
Yeah, you know, Kay was, people don't realize, but, you know, we were related. Seven times over. She was my cousin. She was my aunt. she's my cousin on my mother's side, and my uncle William married her, and so, you know, it was the first time I had ever had, you know, an aunt and cousin in the same person. So it's very, very unique. But you know, what can you say about Kay? Just a dynamic, creative individual for decades. And Eric talks about the Thompson Dance Studio, and we were all reared there. My first job in high school was in the office of Thompson Dance Studio, and that's after several years of being part of the shows as a youngster, and moved up and really was my first job opportunity. It taught me how to be professional and the things that I needed to do in order to be successful and how to comport myself in an office situation. So, you know, I owe her a great deal. She was the teacher at my grammar school, Maple Avenue School in Newark. And, You know, it's we kind of joke about it because all y'all know Kay didn't play. Kay didn't mess around, you know. She would let you know how she felt about something. And her younger years,
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
She didn't.
I know
we all know. So, but as a young lady, I mean, she got down. She's from Elizabeth, so she knew how to get down. And let me tell you, at Maple Avenue School, I never had a problem. Never had a problem. Because they knew Kay was my aunt. And they said that she knew karate and she would kick your butt if you mess with it. So the whole school, nobody messed with Kay. None of the teachers. She would send for me. I was in first grade. She was a sixth grade teacher. So she would pick me up to bring me home until my father could get me. So she would send one of her students down to the first grade class to bring me to her class. That teacher gave fits about it, right? Kay came down there one time and asked her to come out in the hall. And do you know there was never, ever another word said? The minute that child showed up at that door, it's Donald, go with him. Nobody messed with Kay.
Well,
it's kind of like your experience, Wayne, that when my mom would say, I got other things to do.
Yeah, I tell you, that was a defining moment in my life because, again, it's the previous owners, it was a privately held company. And in order to understand, there's no disrespect. I mean, I've been to court with them and back already. But the bottom line is to understand the old Inner City Broadcasting is like reading the epilogue of Animal Farm. All pigs are equal, but some pigs are more equal than others, you know? And I didn't know who hired your mom. I was just asked to work with her, and I was in management. We had this wild, crazy, dynamic genius on the FM side, Frankie Crocker, who was a perfectionist. And equally as demanding was David Lampel on the AM. And right. I just remember that morning having to be there by myself. Of course, she was to come in, and 30 minutes before airtime, after we put together this show, you know, I guess she was determined to change the music. I'm from the old school. Everybody back in the day used to have a theme song, and it was just basically to identify a particular show with the music. But when she had an opportunity to take over, no, we're changing that. You know, I'm going to walk out here. I got better things to do with my time. I remember that clearly. And by the time she put on her winter coat and pulled out that nail file, I thought she was about to kill me. And I said, you know what? We'll drop Jean-Luc Ponty, and, you know, and that was it. But, you know, I mean, that really broke the ice. And it was a gutsy move. And you know, I mean, the deal is, when I think back then and all the other challenges that we faced, you know, in having to work, and again, I don't want to have anything disparaging to say because it was an excellent and a highly successful operation. I mean, they wouldn't be able to get $91.5 million for it today if we hadn't had that foundation back then. So
absolutely.
When I look back, it's unfortunate that it's no longer in black hands. But the bottom line is that your mother played a pivotal role in the success of that operation. And it just saddens me to hear, you know, that we don't have that here anymore. You know,
it's,
in other parts of the country, there may be there, but in some way, shape, or form. And, of course, social media has changed the dynamic of what goes on in terms of reporting the news and getting stories out. But I remember the back and forth between her and Bob Grant's audience, you know? I remember the little black desk at the New York police headquarters, and they're monitoring our phones and home phones and things like that. And, you know, it was just a very, very critical time and a defining moment in New York City black politics, you know, which I don't think will ever come back again, you know.
Right.
Because unlike New Jersey, we get gentrified, and I can't, well, I have the Congress, you have the Congress member on the phone, so I have to be respectful. We do have some very responsible members of the Congress here in on this side of the river, but I just feel that our numbers should be growing, you know, and I just wonder what happens as far as the future is concerned.
Right.
You know?
Well, as I was saying,
that's it.
Go ahead. As I said earlier, I think that mantle is being carried on with what can be happening on the internet and obviously blog talk, shows like this. I appreciate the fact that GoPro Radio at the time in its existence took the time to also shoot the shows, you know, so you could actually, obviously when you nowadays it's kind of commonplace, you could turn on and watch radio shows as a television show as well. And GoPro was started doing that, so I'm really appreciated, even though we parted ways and it wasn't under the best circumstance, but I am appreciative that they were ahead of their time in terms of or right on the cusp of things, and we have this footage of us being on the air that for us family members and for other fans of my mother, we can go back and look at some of those shows, and for me it's a comfort to see her. To see her doing her thing, and also even some of these older shows when she was really at her sharpest and things like that. There was a term that my sister's boyfriend used, and I like to share it with people when they think of their loved ones passing on or dying and things. His mother passed away a couple of years ago, and he coined the phrase of saying when his mother ascended, because it looks at it like when you think of that, it gave me comfort realizing when I think of someone ascending, that means to rising for me at least to the next level or a higher plane of existence where that energy goes. And for some reason, that gave me comfort in seeing and thinking that of my mother. I know she believed in things like that, that she has ascended to that level, if you want to call it heaven, or that higher level of existence or the energy, because the energy and the love that we have for people doesn't die, so they ascend to the next place. So I'd like to share that with people. If people want to use it, I know I shared it with a friend of mine on Facebook who was at that point with her mother. Seemed that her mother was getting ready to pass soon, so maybe that can help some people as they consider the passing of their loved ones. It's not a passing and the death is not an end, but they've ascended to another level. That we like to think of them at. Another point I wanted to say that Coco Gauff, the young 15-year-old American girl that's wowing people in Wimbledon. I know my mother, being a tennis player from way back, would have been one of the first things that she would have talked about tonight, is that how this young girl is doing her thing and beating everybody, at least advancing to the third round of Wimbledon. And my mom and my aunt Pat, they were avid tennis players as well as dancers, and they competed in a number of local tournaments around. And there was one tournament that they attempted to compete in, as my mother told the story, and they got far, but when they finally got to this one next level, they played against two women that were really, really good. And the women beat them. And so my mother and my aunt sat down after they lost, and they started putting on their makeup, you know, retouching up their makeup. And to hear my mom tell it, she was like, there are some people that are taking pictures. We're going to take pictures of the winners. But she said they were cuter than the winners. And as they started putting on their makeup, all the photographers were taking their pictures. So that's kind of a funny story that I'm reminded of, thinking about her playing tennis and stuff like that. We all played tennis, and we grew up with a park right behind our house, fortunately. And so we were out there playing tennis a lot, as are a great many members of our family have played, or at least tried to play from time to time. Byron, can you give a little historical reference? 'Cause I'm thinking about black women hosts. And I looked at some of this footage that my mom was doing on the information exchange, the beginning of Cablevision. And I don't know if they had any other black women hosts, but I'm seeing, you know, that back then in the late 70s, early 80s, you know, there weren't that many of us on TV. There were only a few here and there. And, and being from D.C., you could probably name the ones down there as well, right?
Well, you know, now that I've moved back to D.C., I moved back on Saturday, this past Saturday. And let me tell you.
Oh, wow.
So I can tell this story now because I left New York. You remember the movie Escape from New York with Kurt Russell and Ivan Hayes and Ernest Borgnine? Well, that was me. I was Snake Plissken leaving New York, escaping New York. Late in the evening, around 11:30 in the evening, and I arrived in D.C. at 4:30 a.m. Now, you know, I grew up in D.C., and so for me, I grew up listening to the radio icons like Petey Green, and, you know, I mean, these were...
Heard of him.
I mean, you know, they laid down some stuff, okay?
Right.
Back when... We only had AM radio, you know,
exactly.
And the new idea of FM radio. And then you're right with the history of black radio and those who laid the tracks. Women just weren't the DJs. They were men, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got Radio 1, TV 1, owned by a minority, a woman, who has opened up the doors for other women. That's why Kay Thompson Payne is such a significant icon. This is why we're honoring her this evening, because she is of the rare breed of, you know, those who were not there in the past, who stand on her shoulders now as a result of what Kay was able to achieve along the way. So, you know, and there are others historically, can't name them right now, but I mean, across the channel, you know, you realize from the time that radio became such an important aspect of our lives, especially back in the 30s and the 40s, you know, that was the menu that was only available for correspondence and connections to the world itself. And if it wasn't for black radio, our civil rights movement would have never had a platform on the major stations, because we were blacklisted, blackballed, blacklisted, wiped out. You know that. And Wayne, you are part of a rare company yourself as news director. Okay, I mean, think about it. You just gave us some information tonight that's mind-blowing. They sold BLS to an Asian.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it saddens me. And, I guess what I have to go back to is how it all evolved for me when I, you know, met the Suttons, when they were, you know, basically in the infancy of trying to develop that operation. This is even before they had acquired BLS. It was always WLIB, and what would become BLS was once WLIB-FM, an obscure jazz station based in Harlem. But it wouldn't be so marketable now if it didn't have that heritage history. And you speak of prominent black women of the day back when. The name Alma John comes to mind. I don't know if you remember her. She was at WWRL for many years, and I think at WNJR. And there were a couple of people in the D.C. area, but there weren't as many, and particularly with Kay, there weren't that many then. And we're only talking less than 30 years ago. You know?
That's right.
And we tried to do a lot to bring about, but it's always been like a male-dominated operation. And this is like before the whole Me Too movement business, and it's very difficult to survive under those circumstances. And everyone always had an agenda. So for her to get past that and have the impact that she had, I just think spoke volumes. And as I said, you know, I deliberately wanted to tell at least my history with her and what that meant to me and how I grew from that experience, you know. And I'm just so grateful. I mean, your mother helped my family, and, you know, it's just little things. I think the one thing, when I think of Kay Thompson Payne, public servant comes to mind. Mm-hmm. You all knew her as a mother, a dancer, an educator. But this woman had a nurturing side deep in her DNA. You know, I just, if there was a problem, there was always a way to solve it. And and again, I go back to that last conversation. I want to sound maudlin or anything, but, you know, I thought I was on the precipice of my deathbed, you know, 3 weeks ago when I spoke to her. And hopefully, I don't know where I'm going, but I know where I've been, and I'm hopefully getting better treatment when I get to Sloan Kettering. But, you know, your mother touched me, boy. I mean, I pulled over a 95 after you called me, Eric, and I just had to let it rip. You know, I couldn't believe. I had to compose myself before I started driving again, man. It was just unbelievable.
I understand. Yeah, and I have to say that Wendy Williams, whose father and mother, her mother, Mrs. Williams, a maiden named Skinner, was one of my mother's best friends growing up. And so my mother tells me that Mr. Williams called my mom up when Wendy was in school, was in college, I believe at Tufts, interested in going into radio, and asked if my mother would talk to Wendy or brought Wendy by the station. I think, I don't know if you were there at that time, Wayne, but I know that Wendy, we went to Mrs. Williams' 80th birthday party a few years ago, and I know that Wendy has credited or said positive things about my mom, you know, kind of helping or influencing her at the time. We have another caller from a 323 area code, 316. I'm going to open your mic, caller, to see if you want to say a few words. 323-316, your mic is open. Would you like to say a few words right now about Kay Thompson?
I would love to. I would love to.
George Stanley. This is my cousin George Stanley, everybody.
Yeah.
And
hi,
everyone. You and my mom shared a special bond, right, George?
We sure did. The thing is, it's been a while since I've listened to the show, and it was when she invited me on to talk about a novel that I had just written. I'm sorry? I didn't think. Oh, yeah, okay. I'm hearing that. But so I didn't really remember how to get to the broadcast, and then I thought, I can Google it. And sure enough, it took me right to the broadcast. I mean, and that in itself is very special. Aunt Kay was my favorite aunt, but she was also my favorite person, one of my favorite people. And I was ring bearer at her wedding, and I think that created sort of a bond between us. And, of course, when she and my Uncle Billy needed a babysitter, it seemed that I was the first person to come to mind. And it wound up being four children eventually. But it was always a pleasure looking after them. Also, Congressman Payne and his sister, I also babysat with them. All right, how's it going, Chop?
All right,
yeah. His father would also use my services. but, you know, I would spend brief moments with my Aunt Kay, but every moment was special. Even as coming in to babysit, I'd see her before they went out, see her when she came back, you know, at family gatherings, I would see her. And we would always just get together and just kind of just touch bases and talk and see what's going on. So she is definitely missed, and I'm trying to hold it together, guys. But
yeah.
She's definitely miss. I will miss her every day for the rest of my life.
One thing we could say about, and I'm sure that Jonesy and my cousin, both my cousins would agree that my mother could throw a party. She was not trying to be the cook, but she could order up some food like nobody's business. right, Jonesy, and you know, she was the host.
Absolutely.
You know, we have these pictures where, you know, she could host the heck out of a party, and these guys will tell you that we had some nice parties and barbecues, and my mom.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that you couldn't top her at, hosting the parties, and even us having birthday parties. She always made sure that they were special, and always put us up there, tried to like lift us up, you know, like she did with everybody. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine not too long ago, and he was giving his daughter Sweet 16 party, and we talked about the value. This is an African American gentleman. We talked about the value of parents that can, you know, to giving their kids these parties, and sometimes now it's gotten over the top. But he also talked about, but he didn't mind it. He didn't mind it being slightly over the top, because who would treat his daughter like that again in life? And perhaps she might not, you know, life is going to get hard as you get older. And the fact that you can, as a parent, you know, hold your kid up and spoil them for that short amount of time. Hopefully it's not a long period of time. So you want them to learn some things. But, you know, to give them that. And we had that and those type of things. We had that in experiences, you know, Don and my cousin Larry George's younger brother, we would often, whenever our family would take trips, you know, they would come with us, and we were always at each other's houses on the weekends. George will tell you, you know, babysitting us when we were at your guys' house, and we were just brought up like that. Even on my mother's side, you know, her brother and sister's kids, we often were all together, all the cousins together on both sides of the family, those of us that were all the same age and a little bit older. And so that's how we became to value that aspect, that love of family, that support that we try to have. You know, we're not all, everybody's not perfect, and nobody's saying it is, but we at a very base level, and I think we learned from our family, we learned from the community that we came from. Linda Jonesy can tell you that as well. There was a love that we all have for each other, a love that we all have for each other in the community in those days. And I go back to just standing back and looking at it at this vantage point of these being this age of our life, that we were blessed in that way, you know, to have that, because we realized that not everybody has that, and then not everybody has that type of support base. And also, as you move on into the world, and to hear that, you know, developing relationships with you, Wayne, and with you, Byron, and the various other people that she worked with along the way at the radio station, that those relationships were positive ones for people. You know, I mean, a lot of her dance students will tell you she was a taskmaster. And Don will tell you that, too. She was, while my Aunt Pat was the chilly one, my mom was the, you know, the traditional, when you see the stereotype of the hard ballet teacher with the stick or whatever, she was the one that was doing that. And I'm sure now that a lot of those young girls that have gone on to be beautiful young women and accomplished women appreciate that, you know, the hard work that you put in to achieve something, a goal that you want to go after, you know. And I tell people that my mom was my first director, you know, when she had me do the Sleeping Beauty, the Princess Sleeping Beauty. And now when I've worked with directors that are demanding or difficult, they got nothing on my mom. So it doesn't make a difference what they say and how they might come off in the moment, because, man, you know, my mom prepared me for this. And she told me I could do it. So. And that was her thing, always encouraging people to kind of go for their dreams and do stuff, because I know that's something that she did herself.
That's
so
true.
Yeah, I really would like to see a scholarship in her name, man. You know, I think that would be, you know, I don't know how you go about that, but I think that would be great.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about something like that.
One of the things that's really important, because you asked the question, Eric, the history of women involved in radio. And what I have seen on internet radio, as we have seen in the film industry, women stepping up and producing independent of any commercial activity, names that are starting to pop up, because I, you know, at some point I tried to find out, well, who else is doing what I've been doing as an independent radio producer, you know? And then when I see the number of women who are connecting and making waves like Ava DuVernay. Think about this. 5 years ago, we didn't know that name. Okay, and all of a sudden, there's a proliferation of women film producers, women camera people, women who are doing things in the industry that used to be just a, you know, a domain that has been dominated by men. And there, it's an explosion. It's a women's revolution that's going on. And there are names that are being written on the history books and the record books that will now know they stand on the shoulders of Kay Thompson Payne. You see, they need to know the history.
I think it's a great tribute to just continue this program. And I'll be as helpful as I can be. Don't hesitate to ask for any help from me. That's, this is a tribute to her also.
And you know, as... in my, you know, once I arrived in Congress, Kay was always very open to me coming on and wanted to get the news from Washington, D.C., you know, direct. And but the difficulty for me, which has really disturbed me now, is that it was Wednesday nights, and Wednesday is like in Washington is hell day. And so I would, you know, either not remember to call or be involved in some program where I couldn't call. And it was just something that always chewed at me. And we just used to say, I said, Kay, I'm going to get on there. She says, all right, Chop, you need to come on. People need to understand what's going on. So I always appreciated her opportunity for me to be able to communicate with my constituents and with the world worldwide.
As she did with your father, with Uncle Don. He would come on her show from time to time. There's even a picture of when you guys broadcast from the Apollo, Wayne, at one time, and my uncle was on that show as well. So we're coming on under 3 minutes. Just a couple of celebrities that were on the show. You know, we once we found out that she was a bona fide member of the press, you know, we would use the press tickets that she didn't want to use. So my sister Gina and I in particular, you know, we were able to go see Rod Stewart in concert. We went to see, obviously, the Jacksons on the Victory Tour, went to the press conference there at Tavern on the Green, and that was an event. We met Patti LaBelle. People that appeared on my mother's show were Keenan Ivory Wayans, when I first met him back in the day, was kind enough to come on. Samuel Jackson was early on when we did School Days. Robert Townsend. So a great number of people came on, and I can't even remember the other ones. I know there are some rather large names. Your cousin Wayne, Neil Long, was on the show. I know you shared that.
That was long before she got blew up, you know, gave her an opportunity to come on.
But that was it. But I want to say thank you, Imamu Baraka, who my mother, who we grew up knowing, and his sister was a dancer along with my mother. So we got 90 seconds. I want to say thank you first to my cousin George Stanley for calling in. George, thanks
You're
for calling
welcome.
In, paying tribute.
Very
all right, guys. We'll see you soon.
My
and
when
you come up here for your book signing, we'll get you on. We'll talk to you later. I want to
Sounds
say thank you. Thank you to
George.
Congressman Donald Payne. Don.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. We'll talk to you again soon. Want to say thank you to Linda Jones. Jonesy.
I'm here.
Still
thank
there.
You. My pleasure. What an honor. I'm here.
Thanks for calling in. We love you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Love you, too.
Brother okay. Take care. Brother Byron Saunders. Give
peace and love
off,
always.
Brother.
Yes, right. Peace and love always, and thank you, and God bless you, Eric, and the entire family. We're with you, Bob.
Thank you.
My friend.
I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, brother. We'll talk next week. And legendary newsman, Mr. Wayne Gilman, who worked with my mother all those years. Wayne, you want to
I just want to say it's an honor to be in your presence, and I feel like I'm a part of your family, and God bless his spirit, and If you need me for anything, Eric, call me in the middle of the night. Anything. Don't hesitate to call.
Without a doubt, Wayne. You are a part of the family. We love you, and we'll talk again next week. This has been the Kay Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I am her son, always and forever. And thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys again soon. Take care. Love you, Ma.